444. Okay, basically, Parshas Truma and Tetzaveh start dealing with. I put on the air conditioner, it was very stuffy.
The door is open again.
Yeah. Anyway, Parshas Truma and Tetzaveh start dealing with the donations that the Yidden gave to the Mishkan, which the Mishkan, as we'll soon learn, was also called the Beis HaMikdash, Basili Mikdash. There's different opinions, and we'll see, connected to the Parsha itself. There's different opinions when Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu about constructing the Mishkan. Was it before the Egel, after the Egel, during the Egel? There's three opinions in the Zohar and the Midrashim. When did Hashem command the Jews about constructing the Mishkan? But we'll start with the actual Pesukim. Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe Lemer. Hashem said to Moshe the following. Daber al Bnei Yisrael, speak to the Yidden, v'yikhu li truma, and they should take from me a portion, or an uplifting, me'ez kol eish she'yidvenu libei, from any Jew that will donate his heart, meaning that he'll be generous to give, tikhu es truma, so you should take my truma. Now, basically, it's an interesting thing. The Pasuk is not saying they should give me a truma. The Pasuk is saying, v'yikhu li truma, take from me a truma. And therefore, the Mefarshim explain what is this concept of it. V'yikhu li truma, meaning that they have to convince the people to actually take it from them. Even if they don't necessarily want to give it, they should actually force them to take it from them, that they should learn that they have to give it. That's number one. But Rashi says, v'yikhu li, what does it mean? Li, li lishmi. Okay, what is truma? Truma means a separation. Now, if you notice in this pasuk, we're going to see more in the next pasuk, the Torah says the word truma three times. V'yikhu li truma, and then it says a third time, v'zeisa truma, that we'll soon see, but there's three times the concept of truma in the pasuk. Now, grammatically, this pasuk is very incorrect. If you don't say v'yikhu li truma, if you translate the words literally, it means take me truma. In Hebrew, it should have said v'yikhu elai truma, v'yikhu avuri truma. V'yikhu li truma means take me truma. I mean, it sounds like yeshiva bacher English, you know. Take me truma, you know. Throw my mother out the window a towel, you know. So, it's interesting, the Mefarshim explain, in fact, in Tanya, the Alter Rebbe alludes to it, the word truma, if you look at the word truma, it's Torah Mem. The word truma is Torah Mem. And it says in the Medrash, and the Pasuk, v'yikhu li truma, it says, eisi atem leikhim. When a person learns Torah, and it's another reason they explain why it says the word v'yikhu li, it says when a Jew studies Torah, truma is Torah Mem, because Torah was given in 40 days. So truma refers to the Torah which was given in 40 days. Hashem says, if you want to take me, you want to be connected with Hashem, it's only through truma. It has to be the concept of actually learning Torah properly. So he says, v'yikhu li truma, you should take from me this truma, from any person that donates his heart to give the truma, tikhu es trumasi. Now, what does it mean? So the Mefarshim explained like this. The Torah wants to teach us that the building of the Mishkan is not only through the rich people, through the leaders of the Jewish community. The Torah says, "Kol isha she'idvenu libei." Hashem wants every Jew to have an equal part in the Mishkan. And as we're going to learn in the next few psukim, there were certain terumas everybody was equal, and there's certain terumas that every person gave whatever they wanted. We know, as it says, the three terumas correspond, like Rashi says, there are three terumas. One was Bekel HaGolgolos, one was a shekel, half a shekel per head. That was for the Adonim, for
the first one?
Bekel HaGolgolos means a shekel, a half a shekel for each head. Okay. Per person. Right. The second one was half a shekel that they counted the Jews with, that he bought the korbanos, the daily korbanos in the Beis HaMikdash. And the third one was whatever people wanted to give, zav, kesef, nechashos, and so on and so forth. So two out of the three, every Jew was equal in the amount that they had to give. So it says, what's the difference? The primary things of the Beis HaMikdash, Hashem said, I want all Jews to be equal. The rich people shouldn't think they have a bigger share in the Beis HaMikdash than the poor people. So therefore, where were they equal, the rich and the poor? By two things, Rashi says. One was the half a shekel that they bought the sacrifices, because every day in the Mishkan and the Beis HaMikdash, they had to bring the Korbanos Tzibur. But we have Trei Shachris and Mincha. They had to bring the Oilas Tamid and Oila Beno Arbayim, the morning Korban and the afternoon Korban. So where did they buy the Korbanos from? So the Gemara says that when every Jew gave a half a shekel, so number one, they counted how many Jews there were. But in addition to that, they took that money and they bought the daily sacrifices in the Beis HaMikdash, the Shabbos Korbanos, the weekday Korbanos. So then it meant every Jew had an equal share in every Korban. Nobody had a bigger share, nobody had a smaller share. The second thing that was equal by all Jews was the Adonim, the sockets. What do you mean the sockets? The boards of the Mishkan, like we're going to learn later, the Mishkan was built from Atzi Shittim, okay, wood. And at the bottom of the Mishkan were silver sockets, like that the boards went into to hold them up. They're actually like silver holders for the boards to be held up. Over there, the Torah says, everybody is also equal. Why? Because the sockets were the yesod, the foundation of the entire Mishkan. What held up the Mishkan? The Adonim, the sockets. So the Torah says, in the foundation of the Mishkan, I want everybody to be equal. Everything else, all the external things in the Mishkan, you want to give gold, silver, copper, whatever you want to give, that's fine. But the bottom line is, the you saw the foundation of the Mishkan, and the Korbanos that were brought in the Mishkan, over there every Jew is equal. And that's what the Torah is saying over here, meaning every Jew had a part in the Mishkan. It wasn't for the rich or for the leaders or for what, so on. And then he says like this, this is the third truma, that everybody gave what they wanted. What should you give? Zahav, v'chesev, and nechashos, gold, silver, and copper. Now, there's a lot to talk about just on these few words. First of all, if you remember, we said before, the word truma is Torah Mem. It's brought down as from a very nice word. V'zeisa truma shetikchu me'itam. When do you take out the Torah? Which days do you take out the Torah to read?
Monday and Thursday, Shabbos.
1 second. So it says, Zahav, Chesef, and Nechashos. That the Pasuk says, V'zeita truma shetikhu. This is the day you take out the Sefer Torah. This is all the days of the year that you read the Torah. Zahav is Zayin Hei Beis. That Shabbos is Zayin, seventh day. Hei and Beis is Monday and Thursday. So Zahav is Shabbos, Monday and Thursday. Kesef, Chof, is Kippurim, Yom Kippur. Samach is Sukkot. Pei is Purim and Pesach. Nechashos, Nun, Ches, Shin, Sof. Nun is Ner, which is Chanukah, right, when you have the Ner is Chanukah. Ches is Chodesh, which is Rosh Chodesh, and Rosh Hashanah, which is also Rosh Chodesh. Shin is Shavuos, Shmini Atzeres, and Simchas Torah. And Sof is Ta'anit, a fast day. These are all the days of the year that you read the Torah. So the Torah says, V'zei Satruma, we said Truma is Torah Mem. V'zei Satruma Shetikchu, when do you take out the Torah? Zahav, Chesev, and Nechashos. Shabbos, Monday, and Thursday. Kippurim, Sukkot, Purim, Pesach, Ner, Chodesh, Shmini Atzeres, Simchas Torah, and Sof is Tanis. Those are all the days of the year that you take out the Torah. What? Is this very cute? I mean,
what do you mean it's cute?
It's cute.
It's a fact.
It's still a cute fact. Okay, feel good.
Where is this cute stuff from? It's not Rashi, right?
No. I'll tell you the truth. Where did I hear it from? When I was a kid, I heard it from my father. I saw it already in Svarim later, but I don't remember where. What I remember is what you remember from your youth, you know? Yeah, I heard it from my father many times. He said this part. But I saw it brought down in Svarim already.
But Tumaik is the one that's reciting the Chumash?
No, it's not in the Chumash. It doesn't say in the
Chumash. It's in the Chumash.
I understand, but who says that this is all the times of the year you take out the Torah? Okay. Now there's another thing. With Zohar v'Chesem and Acheshes is another remarkable concept. Even though there are 13 objects, 13 donations that they gave, 13 Dvarim, like Rashi says, other people say it was Tezvav, 13, the 15 things that they gave. The three primary things that people donated for the Mishkan was Zohar, Kesef, and Acheshes. So the Mefarshim ask, gold we understand, silver we understand, but Nechashis is copper. Mm-hmm. Now, copper is a cheaper material.
But it's
stronger. So what? It's still cheap.
Yeah.
Now, there's a rule, there's an interesting halacha in the Gemara. The Mishnah says that before they would shecht, before they slaughtered a korban in the Beis HaMikdash, it says in the Gemara, in the Mishnah, Mashkina behema lefnei hashchita. They would give the animals to drink, water to drink, before they shechted the animal. Why? So the Gemara explains, because in case there was something stuck in the throat that would make the shechita not good, so the water like would wash it down and it would be a better shechita. So the Gemara says, what did they give the animals to drink? They gave them to drink in golden utensils. B'kleizov. So the Gemara asks, the animals have to drink from gold? It's behemoth. Let them drink from a paper cup. I mean, that afkezov. And the Gemara answers a very interesting answer, a rule in Eina niyut b'mokom ashirut. There's no poverty in the place of wealth. In God's home, there's first class. If there's first class in God's home, even the behemoths drink from golden utensils. Okay, that's what the Gemara says. So based on that, the question really is even stronger. Gold and silver, I understand. Why? There's a very interesting machlekes in Baba Metzia. In the Gemara in Baba Metzia, there's an argument. What is a better material? I put on the air conditioner, it was so hot in here.
Freezing.
You want to close the air conditioning, please?
No.
Maybe the women should start wearing tzitzis. There would be Machaya. I see a Chicago and knows what to.
I'll be asleep in a few minutes.
Anyway, there's a machlekes in the Gemara. What is a better material, gold or silver? And the Gemara explains that really gold is more valuable, but currency is silver. Gold is not a practical material because currency was always in Arba Meir Shekel Kesef. Currency was always in silver, never in gold, because gold was too expensive. It wasn't a practical thing. So there's all machlekes in the Gemara. What's better, gold or silver? But one thing is definitely true. Nechashis is definitely not as valuable as gold and silver. So the question is, if you're talking about materials, mainly the other things, the walls, okay, walls are purple, well, these various walls. But if you're talking about gold, silver, and copper, why should Hashem allow, or for that matter, want Nechashis, copper, in the Beis HaMikdash? He should only want gold and silver, because there's an argument, which is better, gold or silver. So why is Nechashis one of the gifts? So it says, similar to what we didn't explain yet, that there were three opinions in between the Medrash and the Zohar. There's three opinions. When did Hashem command Moshe Rabbeinu to build the Mishkan? Was it before the Egel? After the Egel? And there's one opinion that says Hashem commanded before, but Moshe Rabbeinu didn't tell the Jews until after. Which means it was during the Egel. Okay, during the golden calf. So, what's the argument? What's the argument if it's before, after, during? Basically, who cares? I mean, and why is there three different opinions? So it explains like this. The difference if it was before, after, or during is three different types of Jews. Before the ego, the Jews were tzaddikim. After the ego, after the golden calf, they were bali tshuva. During the ego, they were sinners. So it's explained in Chassidus that the reason why there's three opinions, it's not three different opinions. The Mishkan is for every single Jew. Whether you're a tzaddik Jew, a bal tshuva Jew, or even a sinning Jew, the Mishkan is for you. Nobody should think that they have an exclusive right to the Mishkan. And like we said, everybody's equal to half a shekel. We just said everybody has to bring equally, and every person equally has to be part of the Mishkan. Even the sinners. Even the egel Jews. And the same thing we find, we mentioned this many times, in the Keteris, in the incense that they brought every day in the Beis HaMikdash, twice a day. So one of the 11 spices was Chalbana. Okay, we see in Davening, Chalbana. Now the Gemara says, Chalbana Reichaira, it stunk. It had an awful smell. So the Gemara asks, if Chalbana had an awful smell, why was it part of the Keteris? The Keteris is supposed to be incense that smelled good. Why in the world did Hashem tell him to bring Chalbana, which stunk? So the Gemara says to teach us that if there's no sinners participating with everybody else, it's no good. And in fact, in Keteris we say in the morning, Im chisad echad mikol samamaneha, from the Gemara, this is what we say in Davening, if one of the spices, any of them were missing, chayiv misa was capital punishment. Chayiv misa was death penalty. So what do you see from there? That even if Chalbana was missing, from the Keteris, it was Chayiv Misa. Why? Because Hashem says, when it comes to Keteris, when it comes to all these things, I don't only want Tzaddikim, I don't only want Bali Tshuva, I even want every sinning Jew. So these are the three materials of Zav, Kesev, and Nechashis. The three materials of Zav, Kesev, and Nechashis represent tzaddikim, bali tshuva, and sinners. Why? And this, by the way, is an interesting thing. When you learn everything together and everything fits into place, it's beautiful. In the Gemara Brachas, there's an argument, who is greater, tzaddikim or bali tshuva? One opinion says tzaddikim are greater than bali tshuva. Another opinion, the Gemara says, bali tshuva are greater than tzaddikim. And the Rambam, in Hilchos Tshuva, paskins that the halacha is bali tshuva is greater than a tzaddik. V'makom shebali tshuva aimdim, afilu tzaddikim gamurim ein yecholim la'amid. In the place of bali tshuva is even a tzaddik, complete tzaddik can't stand. But the fact is, there's two opinions in the Gemara: who is greater, a tzaddik or a bali tshuva? Zav and kesef represent the bali tshuva and the tzaddik. Kesef, silver, number one, is whitish. It's whitish, which symbolizes purity. White symbolizes always purity. By Yom Kippur, we see that. But kesef also comes from the word what we say in Yadid Nefesh, nichseif nichsafti, nichsefa v'gam kol senafshi, David HaMelech says, nichsefa means a longing. Kesef represents a longing to godliness, that's the level of a tzaddik. Zahav, gold, is reddish. Red represents avedus. The pasuk says, "Im yuch atoechem kashanim, kashele yalbinu." If your sins will be like red thread, I'll make them white when you do tshuva. Red symbolizes blood. Red symbolizes sin. Gold is red, but it's an expensive material because it refers to a bal tshuva who made the redness into something positive. He made the aveda into a mitzvah.
Gold is not gold is yellow.
No. Gold has a reddish tint to it. Copper is also reddish. But Zahav is not only white gold. The yellowish gold has a red, when you look at gold from the distance, there's a reddish tint to it. Very good, it's red.
But it's not
really. But Zahav represents the Baal Tshuva who transforms the red. The Gemara says gold is reddish. It's a Gemara about Nechashis, but and Zahav. So Zahav represents redness of a sin, but that was transformed into a very expensive material, meaning it represents a Baal Tshuva. Mm-hmm. So Zahav is the Baal Tshuva. Kesef is the Tzaddik. Nechashis, copper, the Gemara says, is red, like the gold. But it's a cheap material. But not only that, the root of Nechashis is Nachash, which represents the original sin with Adam and Chava, with the snake. So Zav, Kesef, and Nechashis represent the three types of Jews. The golden Jew, meaning the Baal Tshuva. The Kesef Jew represents the Tzaddik. And the Nechashis Jew represents the sinning Jew. And Hashem says, I want all three to be partaking in the Mishkan. And therefore it's brought down in Svarim, an interesting concept. There's an argument in the Gemara, who's better, a Baal Tshuva or a Tzaddik? And there's an argument in the Gemara, what's better, silver or gold? It's the same argument. If you hold silver is better, conceptually means a Tzaddik is greater than a Baal Tshuva. If you hold gold is better, that means you hold a Baal Tshuva is greater than a Tzaddik. And that's why there's all these arguments about the same thing better. What is better, a Tzaddik or a Baal Tshuva? But by the Mishkan, Hashem says, I even want the Nechashis type of a Jew. Meaning even a Jew that's a Nachash, a sinning Jew, I also want him to partake in the Mishkan. And that's why Hashem says it has to be Zahav, Kesef, and Nechashis and all types of things. Okay, in fact, he brings on an interesting story. It's a Gemara in Bava Basra. There's this person, Binyamin HaTzadik, they called him. He was in charge of the Tzedakah Fund. And he used to collect money and used to give it out to the poor people. One time this lady came to him and she said, I need money. He said, there's no money left in the Tzedakah Fund. I have no money to give you. So the lady said, if you don't give me, she said to him, if you don't give me money, me and my seven kids are going to die. Because we'll die from hunger. So what did he do? From his own pocket, he supported the woman and the seven kids. A little while later, he became deathly ill. This Binyamin HaTzadik became deathly ill. And the Malachim came before God. And they said to God, you say, in Torah, if you save one life, it's like you save a whole world. This guy, Binyamin HaTzadik, saved eight worlds, the woman and her seven kids, and you're letting them die? So it says, Hashem ripped up his evil decree, lived another 22 years. He lived another 22 years because he gave the tzedakah to the poor people. Okay, another thing they say about Kol Isha Shiedvenu Libay, why is it important Yedvenu Libay? The heart should give. So he says, the Mefarshim explains, sometimes a person can give a lot of money, but he does it with a grumpy heart. You know? He does it, but he doesn't have a good heart. Sometimes you could give less, but you give it with a full heart. So Terry says over here, we need both things. We need the Truma of Zav, Kesem, and Nechashis, but at the same time, you need Kol Isha Sheidvenu Libay, that the heart should be giving, it should be done. In fact, the Gemara says, even by Korbanos, Echad HaMamit, Vechad HaMarbe, whether one is able to give a little or a lot, Bevad Sheichavan Libay LaShemayim, as long as he has the Kavana of doing the best they could do. And that's what Hashem wants in the person. Okay, so now the Pasuk continues. Pasuk Dalet. So well, they gave gold, silver, and copper. And then he says, Utcheles v'argamon, turquoise wool, turquoise, v'argamon purple wool, v'selah shani scarlet wool, v'sheish v'izim linen and goat hair. And the pasuk continues, we'll see about these in a second. V'eris elim adamim, and the ramskins dyed red, v'eris tchoshim, and the skins of this animal called tchoshim, v'atzi shitim, and acacia wood. Okay, those are still in the next pasuk. Shemen lamar, oil for the light. Psamim l'shemen amishcha, psamim spices for the oils that anointed. L'kteiris asamim for the k'teiris that they gave. Avni shoyam, these were the various stones for the breastplate of the kohen. V'avni miluyim, and the stones of, we'll see each one what they are exactly. L'eifrid v'lacheshin for the eifrid, for the apron of the kohen gadol, and the cheshin of the kohen gadol. Huh? Okay, so Rashi explains what was Tachash. Rashi says, Min Chaya Hoya. It was a certain beast that Hashem created in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu. Multicolored, beautiful skin. And after they finished using it for the Mishkan, Hashem took it away. It became extinct. That means Hashem put it in the world only for the purpose of the skins for the Mishkan. Now, the Mefarshim explain that this one animal, had like this. It had one horn. Today they would call it a unicorn, but it's not, because it was a multicolored animal that only existed at that time. It had one horn, and they knew it was a kosher animal because Adam Arishon also was makriv his carbon, an animal with one horn. And it had many, many colors, and each color was nicer than the next. And it was a mamish nest that Hashem made it, and it was b'riya b'fnei atzmei. In fact, the Gemara discusses, they didn't even know if it was a behemo or a chaya. Was it a domestic animal or a beast? They didn't even know. There's a whole different discussion in the Gemara what the tachash was. But one thing is for sure, it was an animal Hashem put into the world because of the Mishkan and then took it away. There's even a more interesting medrash that says, the medrash says a very interesting vart, Lahaya ha'elam roi lezahav. The medrash says the world didn't deserve to have gold. Gold is too pure for the world, the medrash says. Why did God put gold in the world? So the medrash says, Hashem needed it for the Mishkan. Because Hashem needed it for the Mishkan, He already dumped it into the world. He allowed the world to benefit. But what was the purpose of gold? Primarily only for the Mishkan. The Medrash says, Lahaya ha'olam roi lezahav. The world wasn't worthy of having gold. And Tachash was an animal that Mamish Rashi says also became extinct, and that was it.
Tolat Shani also.
Huh?
Tolat Shani also is some Tolat that it was only in that time.
Right? No, you're talking about The Shamir that cut the rocks. Yeah, but Tolat Shani was a thing that was common.
And now we have Tolat Shani?
Yeah.
Yes?
Yeah.
Is it silkworm?
Yeah, whatever, it's a type of, yeah, I guess so.
I think it's silkworm. I think it's silkworm.
Whatever. It's even in English, it says, the Tachash was a beautiful multicolored animal that existed only at that time and then became extinct. And they used it for the Mishkan, only for that time. And then Hashem took it away.
She said, where's the diamond in the Torah? There's diamond in the Torah?
Yeah, Zohar and
Teva. No, the Avanim Tevis, the Avni Shem, Avni Miluim, were all types of diamonds and precious stones. Yeah, they were under, but these are sapphire stones and all these expensive types of stones.
Okay.
Now you're okay? Now, Rashi explains, how did they get cedar, atishitim's acacia wood? How in the world did they get acacia wood in the desert? So Rashi learns, and it's interesting, the Ramban differs with Rashi over here, and then later in Chumash. According to Rashi, Rashi says, Yaakov Avinu foresaw, prophesied that the Jews are going to build a Mishkan, and they're going to need wood. So when he went down to Mitzrayim, he took down wood from Israel, he planted in Mitzrayim and it grew, and when the Yidden left Mitzrayim, they took the wood with them. That's what Rashi learns, Atzichitim, from the Medrash Rabbi Tanchuma, that Yaakov in Tzofa Baruch HaKedesh, that the Yidden are going to have to build a Mishkan, and they brought the wood into Mitzrayim, and he planted it, and when the Yidden left Mitzrayim. The Ramban argues with Rashi, and he says, simply, he doesn't argue against the Medrash, but he says, Atzichitim, there was a place in the desert called Shittim. After the Bullock story, it's a Vayeshiv Yisro B'Shittim. There was a place called Shittim. And he learns Atzi Shittim means wood from Shittim. Not Shittim type of wood. The Ramban learned Atzi Shittim meant wood that they bought from the areas of Shittim. Because the Ramban learns that in the 40 years in the Midbar, the Jews were doing business with the neighboring cities. Whatever they were doing business. So he learns Atzi Shittim. You don't have to say that Yaakov is simple and pshat, he says. You don't have to learn a medrash that Yaakov Avinu brought down to Mitzrayim and they took it out. And he says, they bought wood from a city called Shittim. It's called Atzi Shittim. Oh, now, we learned, not here yet, but why did Hashem want the Mishkan to be built from Atzi Shittim? So Chassidus explains that the word Shittim comes from the word Shtus. Okay? No, Shittim, the root. Rashi says, by a Satan, this week's parsha, Kisiste Ishte, Rashi says, a Satan. In Hebrew, Sin and Shin are interchangeable. Samachan and Sinamin are interchangeable. A Satan, Rashi, the Pasuk says, Kisiste Ishte, the Pasuk says with a Sin, not with a Samach. And Rashi says, what does it mean? Tot midarke hatznius. She turned from the way of tznius, the way of modesty. And the husband accuses her of committing adultery. Shtus means turning. That's what the word shtus means. Shtus, why is a crazy person called shaita, or the person did a shtus? Shtus means turning away from the normal. Meaning, you have the normal path, Derech HaMitzua, the normal way. And then you can have above normal, and you can have below normal. There's a story in the Gemara Ksubis. There were certain Amiroyim that do dancing crazy at a wedding. We're talking about Amiroyim of the Gemara, great tzaddikim, were dancing crazy at a wedding. So Rab Zeira said to them, Kamachsev Lonsove, you're embarrassing us. One tzaddik said, you're dancing like an idiot. You're embarrassing us. So the Gemara says, when he died, a pillar of fire came down. So Gemara in Ksubis, a pillar of fire came down and separated this rabbi that danced crazily from the rest of the world. That means it made him show that he was very, very holy. So the same Rab Zeira that told him off said to him, Hana le shtusel lesava. You know what made him so holy? The shtus that he did. In Shmuel, there's a pasuk in the Navi Shmuel. There's about Nasan HaNavi. The pasuk said, "Madu abo ha-meshuga hazeh." Why did this meshuganer come? A Navi is called meshuga. Why is a Navi? So the Mefarshim explain why is a Navi called meshuga? Because meshuga means not normal. You're going to have not normal above normal. And you can have not normal, below normal. You can have two ways not normal. A tzaddik is also not a normal person. But when we say somebody's not normal, we mean below normal. But the truth is, a Navi, a tzaddik, is not a normal person. He's above normal. So it says, the whole concept of the Mishkan, the whole concept of the Beis HaMikdash and the Mishkan, was to take the shtus of the world and transform it into shtus of kedusha. So it says, why did Hashem tell him to make the Mishkan from Atzi Shittim? Because Hashem wanted that the Mishkan symbolizes Just like you take a behema and make it a sacrifice, you make it holy. Hashem said, I want you to take the shtus of the world and make it into a shtus of the Beis HaMikdash. And by the way, it's another interesting thing. What were the boards of the Mishkan called? The Kroshim. Yeah? Singular, the Pasuk says, make one Kaddish. Yeah? Kruv Echad Mikadosh. But the Kroshim were called Kaddish singular. Kuf Reishin. Kuf Reishin, boards of the Mishkan, is the same letters as the word Sheker. Kaddish and Sheker are the same letters. Sheker is lying, falseness. The opposite of emes. God represents emes. Hashem Elokim emes. So what is sheker? Sheker is the opposite of godliness, meaning evil. What does Hashem say? I want you to take the sheker of the world and make it into a kerish. Make it into the walls of the Mishkan. Take the shtus of the world and make the shtus of the world into Atzi Shittim, into a Mishkan. Meaning, what is the avaid of the Jew? To take the foolishness of the world and make it into foolishness of Kedusha.
What does mean,
Rekesh?
No,
Kedush is a board. But it's the same letter as a Sheker. You take Sheker falseness and you make it into a board of the Mishkan. Meaning, and by the way, you have the same thing, we mentioned this in the past. What's the word for holiness in Hebrew? Kedusha. Kaddish. Kedusha. A Zaina is called a Kadesha. In Parshas Vayeshev, Yehuda and Tamar, it says, Ayeya Kadesha Ibainayim. Where is this Kadesha? Where is this prostitute? Or later on in Chumash, the Torah says, Laisiya Kadesha Mibnais Yisrael. You can't be a prostitute. So the question is, Kadesha, Kedusha, it's the same Mamish letters. You're talking about holiness and don't prostitution. How could you have the same Mamish, the same letters, without vowels, you read it the same way. So again, what does Kedusha mean? Kedusha means separation. What does it mean when you say something is holy? Something is holy means it's separated from the rest of the world. It's not normal, it's above normal. So what does the word Kedusha really mean? Separated. But you can have separated above normal, which is holy, and you can have separated in evil, which is Kadesh, prostitution. So in Torah, there's the transformation of evil to Kedusha. So therefore, Hashem made that the Mishkan is made from Atzi Shittim, which is Shtus, to make it Shtus to Kedusha. And just to give you a very simple example, to put an ad for Chabad, to say that stopping a guy in the street to put on tefillin is normal, trust me, it's not normal. It's not the normal practice of Judaism. A guy comes into a shul, you put tefillin on with him. To go out into the street and stop a guy in the street and say, put on tefillin, is not a normal thing. It's a shtus. But because the world is so shtusy, a shtus, in evil, like we learned many times, if the branch is bent all the way to the left, and you want to get it back to the middle, you have to bend it all the way to the right. But you can't bend it only back to the middle, because it will go back 45 degree angle. You want to get it back to the middle, and it's bent all the way to the left, you have to bend it all the way to the right. Then, you can bring it back to the middle. And that's the whole concept of the Mishkan, was to take the shtus of the world into Kedusha. And I'll take it even a step further. The Mishkan was not as holy as the Beis HaMikdash. That we know. The Mishkan was holy, but the Beis HaMikdash was holier. What was the Mishkan made from? As we're going to learn in the Psukim. And on these things itself. The Mishkan was made from wood. And the covering of the Mishkan was goatskins. Right? So if you think about it, it was made from tzemeach and chai. It was made from plants, trees, and it was made from animals. It wasn't made from stone. There was no stone floor in the Beis HaMikdash. There were no walls made out of stone in the Mishkan. There were no stone walls made in the Mishkan. In the Beis Hamikdash, on the other hand, yeah, you could open it. In the Beis Hamikdash, on the other hand, what was the Beis Hamikdash made from? Stones. Which is domain inanimate objects. What's the difference? I mean, everything in Torah, you know, there's a reason for it. The greater the Kedusha, the lower down it could come. The higher the thing, the lower it could fall. The Kedusha in the Mishkan was only able to permeate the plant and animal life of the world. It didn't have the ability to make the stone holy. And therefore it wasn't made out of a domain, it wasn't made out of inanimate. The Beis HaMikdash, which was a greater holier place, greater Kedusha coming from Hashem, it was even able to make the stones holier. Therefore Hashem commanded the Mishkan not to be made from stones. It wasn't only a practical purpose, you know, because it was moving. It was actual different levels of Kedusha. The Mishkan was able to make animals holy, animal skins holy, animal life holy, and plant life holy, the boards. Stones it couldn't do. The Beis HaMikdash was able to make even the Evan, the Avonim, it also became holy.
What about the metal though? The gold and the silver?
But that wasn't it was the holding up the Mishkan, but it wasn't like, the primary Mishkan was the boards,
right,
and the things.
Also permeated that.
It didn't permeate it the same way, though. Oh, by the Beis HaMikdash, all the walls were made out of stone, out of domain. So the whole different concept, in fact. Okay, now to go back a little bit and discuss each one of these things. Okay, so the gold, silver, and copper we discussed. Tcheles v'argamim v'tilas shani with three different types of wool. Tcheles is from the chalazon fish. That's the whole very interesting shaila. Do we have tcheles today? You know, you see some people that have tcheles on their tzitzis, the blue wool. That was one Rebbe called the Regina Rebbe, said that he found the source of the fish. The Rambam writes, that where did they get tcheles from? There was a fish called chalazon in the yam. And from that, they took the fish and then they cooked it, and the whole process how to make the tcheles from it. And this person, not very many years ago, maintained that he found the tcheles. Most people adamantly disagreed with him. You know, and they said, there is no tcheles today, we don't know what it is, we don't know where it is, and you can't have tcheles, and it makes it worse if it's tcheles, you know. But that was the whole argument. So tcheles, actually, they got from a fish called chalazin, which was, the Rambam says, in the Mediterranean. And that's where they got that actual color, by dyeing it in the chalazin fish. What?
Chalazin.
Oh,
they have a fish called
chalazin. Yeah, but it's not this chalazin.
Chalazin.
Here it says, rare amphibious animal known as chalazon, whose exact identity has been forgotten with the passage of time. It's a similar color to the tcheles is daimel yam, and yam is similar to the rakia, you know. But in a practical sense, the shaila is with tzitzis, you know, still tcheles, because the Torah says you really need tcheles. But they actually used tcheles in the Mishkan for dyeing the various different wools. So that was tcheles. Our garment is the purple wool. There is Tchoshvat Seishitim. Okay. Now, the Shaman Lamard was the oil for lighting the Menorah. Now, they had to do two things. The Pasuk says Shaman Lamard and Psamim L'Shaman HaMishcha. There were two types of oils that they had in the Beis HaMikdash. One was to light the Menorah. That had to be what was called, in today's language, is called extra virgin olive oil. The first drop, Shemen Zayin Zoch, was the first drop that came out, was kosher for the Menorah, and the rest they were able to use for various different things. So they had two types of oils, purposes in the Mishkan. One was for the Menorah, that's what's called Shemen Lamor, for the light, meaning the Menorah, And they also had the Shamina Mishcha, they had other oil that they would anoint the Kayanim with. They would anoint all the Kelim of the Beis HaMikdash. And they had to anoint them like a, what Rashi is using the expression Chaf Yevonis, which according to most people is an X. A Greek Chaf, which is actually an X. And that's how they would anoint all the people, and that's what they needed it for. The Ketaris Asamim, and also they needed it for the Ksamim, the Psamim, that they needed for the Ketaris, because the Ketaris was brought twice a day. It says in Sfarim that from all the Karbanis in the Mishkan, the holiest Karban of all the Karbanis in the Mishkan was the Ketaris. And it says, why? Because like we mentioned before, what was the concept of the Ketaris? The Ketaris was taking the Chalbana and transforming it to Ketaris. All the other Karbanis, you took an animal and brought it, but you didn't take evil and elevate it to Kedusha. The Ketaris was actually the only Avodah of the Beis HaMikdash, the way you took something bad, something terrible, the Chalbana, and you made it into spices for the Mishkan. So from all the Karbanis of the whole Beis HaMikdash, the Gemara says, the greatest Avodah was the Aved of the Ketaris. And therefore, the only carbon that went into the Holy of Holies was the Ketaris that the Kohen Gadol brought on Yom Kippur. No other carbon went into the Holy of Holies. Every carbon was outside. The only carbon, so to speak, that went into the Kodesh HaKadoshim on Yom Kippur was the Ketaris. So that shows itself that it was the holiest thing, and that's what they needed the Psalmim for. And then they needed also davni shayim va'avni miluyim. They needed two for the eifed and a few for the miluyim. As we'll soon know the details when we get into them. The eifed v'lacheshin were the two garments that the Kohen Gadol wore. Now the Mefarshim say, even though we're not by the cheshin yet, based on the same concept that we were discussing before, what did the breastplate of the Kohen that had the Urim V'Tumim and all the holiest things, why was it called Cheshen? Because Cheshen is the same letters as the word Nachash. Cheshen is Nachash. The same letters. What did the Cheshen forgive? The sin of the Nachash, which was the original sin, that all sins came from that original sin of Adam and Chava.
What is Nachoshen?
The breastplate of the Kohen Gadol.
Oh.
With the stones, you know, for all the Shvatim.
Right, right.
Okay, so that breastplate is called Cheshen,
okay.
Because it comes in the word Nachash.
Mm-hmm.
That means the Kohen Gadol wearing the Cheshen forgave for all the sins, so to speak, of the Jewish people. And again, it's the same concept of transforming Nachash, evil, the snake, it symbolizes the first sin, into the Cheshen of the Beis HaMikdash. You take Sheker, you make it Kedesh. You take Shtus, you make it Atzishitim. You take Nachash, and you make it into Cheshen. The whole concept of the Mishkan is to make a dwelling place for God, as the next Pasuk is going to say. You make a dwelling place for Hashem by taking evil and making evil into good. Shlomo HaMelech says in Kehelis, and we'll finish with this for a few minutes. Shlomo HaMelech says in Kehelis, a famous pasuk, and trust me, if you learn the pasuk simply, you'd only Shlomo HaMelech to tell it to me. Every shaita knows it. Shlomo HaMelech says, Ra'isi sheyesh yisrin l'chachma min ha-sichlus. We mentioned this in the past. Ki yisrin ha'er min ha-cheshech. Shlomo HaMelech, simply the pasuk is saying, Shlomo HaMelech says, I see that wisdom is better than stupidity, like light is better than dark. That's what Shlomo HaMelech says. Ro'isi sheyesh yisrin l'chachma min ha-sichlus. I see that there's an advantage of wisdom over sichlus, foolishness, like the advantage of light over dark. Good morning. I need Shlomo HaMelech in Kehelis to tell me a brilliant statement. Wisdom is better than stupidity, like light is better than dark. And without Shlomo HaMelech, we wouldn't know that. So the Zayat explains, interestingly, that Shlomo HaMelech is saying a very profound concept. Shlomo HaMelech is not saying that wisdom is better than stupidity and light is better than dark. Because if that's what he's saying, that's not what the Pasuk says. If that's what Shlomo HaMelech would be saying, the Pasuk in Hebrew should read, Ra'isi sheyesh yisrin l'chochma al ha-sichlus, ki yisrin ha'erd al ha-cheshech. The advantage of light over dark, like the advantage of wisdom over foolishness. That's not what the Pasuk says. The Pasuk says, Ra'isi sheyesh, and this is the way the Zohar defines it, Ra'isi sheyesh yisrin, the greatest level of chachma, yisrin l'chachma, the greatest level, not the advantage of wisdom over foolishness. Shlomo HaMelech says a very profound statement. Ra'isi sheyesh yisrin l'chachma. You know what the best type of chachma is? Min ha-sichlus, when it comes from foolishness. Ki yisrin ha'er, like the greatest level of light, is min ha-cheshech, when it comes from the darkness. But Shlomo HaMelech is saying a very profound concept. The ultimate light is not light. The ultimate light, the greatest light, is when darkness becomes light. The ultimate wisdom is min ha-sichlus. When foolishness is transformed into wisdom, that's the ultimate level of wisdom. Because it's the transformation of bad into good. The transformation of bad into good is greater than good by itself. And that's why all the things of the Mishkan is a transformation of Nachash and Sheked and Shtus. The transformation of evil into good is the ultimate level of good. And that's what Hashem wanted with the construction of the Mishkan. Hashem wanted the Mishkan to have chalbana, that stunk. Hashem wanted sheker, Hashem wanted shtus, Hashem wanted nachash, that you transform them to kedusha, then it could be va'asali migdash shechanti b'seichem, then God could rest in it. Because that's the ultimate level of good. Okay,